different way? A food bank?
We had a food bank here. Today was our distribution. We help over 100 and something people today.
Amen.
So,
and there were people who were members of this church, right?
No, yes, but not everybody. There are a lot of people from outside that we don't even know.
So we're reaching out
to others.
We're following the life of Christ. Didn't Christ reach out to others? Didn't he teach, demonstrate for his disciples to reach out and extend and care for others? Yes.
For the least of my brethren, what you've done for the least of my brethren, you've done to me.
Right. Okay. So we've established that piece about community. Are there other services that communities are generally places where people live and work and have fun, right? That's a community. Things that are common create a unified experience, okay? Community. How do we impact folks who have differences that maybe prevent them from participating in activities the way others do? People who have differences, whether it's physical, mental differences. How do we react? How do we accommodate different situations that people experience? I'm going to help you along here a little bit. Do we accommodate that individually as a person? Sometimes, based upon our chosen profession or things that we do in the community, right? Do we accommodate that by being open in our worship service so that we're very inclusive into the ways that different people may worship? They may sing a little differently with a different tempo, different words, but are we open and welcoming? Rhetorical question, obviously. How do we, while contributing to and understanding what the Lord has led us to do in terms of how we worship, how we dress, where we go, what we eat, all of those things, those are all positives as opposed to, we can't eat that, we can't go that. We think about the things that we can do and how they enrich our lives, right? Yes? No? Is it quiet because y'all are just so into this, or is it quiet because you're tired, or I need to amp this up a little bit? You're tracking with me though, right? Where is she going with this? I'm going to this. I was asked to talk about, well, no, he didn't do it quite like that. We had a discussion and came up with talking about working with, considering community mental health. How do we as individuals and parishioners contribute to or detract from the mental health of the communities in which we live?
There's some responses to you there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Someone's going to have to read that because I can't see.
So it's people with the same interests at the top, being in the same space,
mm-hmm.
sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals,
mm-hmm.
one aim, must create a sense of belonging, inclusion, and making others feel welcome, meeting people where they are at with love.
Wow. Would you read that again, that last one, the last thing you said?
It says meeting people where they are with love.
Let's pause. Thank you, Pastor, because I know I'm not going to track that. Meeting people where they are with love. That's significant. I know, because we read about it, we feel it in our hearts, that that's what Jesus did. Does it mean he didn't chastise us? Absolutely not. But he met us with love and where we were, right? So how do we take the model, the wonderful model that Jesus gave us about how to treat our brethren, regardless as to country of origin, dialect, or speed with which we speak or don't? People always say, you talk so slow, get it out. And I think, but it's the only way I know how to talk. I don't know what to do. Anyway, you know, sometimes we have these expectations because we're able to do something a certain way. Everyone else should be able to do it that way. And to be more inclusive is beyond understanding. Because if you understand on the inside, the person doesn't see or experience that understanding. Do you think they give a red rip about our understanding unless we're able to communicate that? Okay? So ways in which our church as an organization has set itself up to look at and to provide for the needs of others, whether they are members or not, are what? Let's hear some examples of those ways. Anyone? How has the church at large, organizationally, designed itself to meet the needs of others? Through what auxiliaries or organizations within our church? Yes.
We have program that we provide, like we have, it was last year, we have Impact Bridgeport, where we go out in the community, mm-hmm. and we have a like health fair, mm-hmm. and we have community service was out there too, so we give mm-hmm. away lots of stuff, like, you know, we give away clothes and a lot of stuff to people. Mm-hmm. We do the healthcare where we go and we do blood pressure and help other and help the community.
Okay. With that. So now how do you have your hand up? I'm sorry, please. Thank you for keeping it up there.
As a church, in catering for the needs of its members and also visitors, we have here, as though we are here meeting together now, we're catering to the spiritual needs of the individuals that are here. As one medium, you can meet here, you can socialize, you can share, you can get advice, you can get counsel here. One aspect. If you're not an adult and you're a youth, we have our AYR, Pathfinders, mm-hmm. so that cater to another set of the church family, mm-hmm. That can also be open to members of the community who wants to be a part of our organization as well. Mm-hmm. So we're catering for the young generation that is coming. Mm-hmm. As Sister Martel spoke earlier about our food bank here, mm-hmm. because of the community that we are in, we know that there's needs of the community.
How do you know? Pardon me for stopping you, but how do you know?
Each member inside here is a part of this community.
Okay.
So they share with us. We are here. We are looking at them as well.
Okay.
When we're doing our outreach, we see what is there in the community. Mm-hmm. So to attend to the needs of the community, mm-hmm. we realize that, hey, food is an integral part. Persons out there has a lack for food. We provide that for them. Mm-hmm. Come here, you pick up your basket, that mm-hmm. is there. If okay. you need the word, you can be here on Sabbath, you get that too. Mm-hmm. Whatever other areas or need of the community exists, mm-hmm. we also try to have an arm for that. As all you are here now, we know the importance of our mental health. This is something we're catering towards too.
May I stop you there, mm-hmm. please? What is it that communicates to you mm-hmm. as an individual the importance of one's mental health? in one sentence, which I probably couldn't do, but
all right. The way we act and think.
Tell me a little more about, did everyone hear what he said? The way in which we act
and think,
which is driven by generally how we think, mm-hmm. which is also driven by our experiences. Did you say connections? Actions? Our experiences drive that. Is that right? Am I right? Yes, everyone? Okay, so then why are there so many, well, do we know, are there many people, are there a lot of people who are experiencing issues with mental health right now in this church? Why? Why?
Just what you've just said to us, the information that we have, how we've been brought up. The environment that we are in as well, all of those factors impact on us as an individual. And by that, that helps to determine how we act, how we process information, how we think of ourselves, and how we relate to others around us as well.
Okay, you said a lot, all accurate. How do we do something about it? With that knowledge, okay, I want you to think upon that for a moment. You had something that you wanted to share?
No, I was just gonna just elaborate and say that our experiences and our traumas that we've experienced mold the way we think and how we react to circumstances. And that contributes to one's mental health.
Thank you for your collective contribution, because all of what was just said, all the things that you all were thinking contribute to poor mental health, or just what's excellent mental health? Are we all mentally healthy all the time?
No.
Well, why not? Aren't we waiting for Jesus to come? And I don't mean this in an overly dramatic way, but we know the truth, don't we? Well, then why aren't we just happy and just rolling around and enjoy all the time? Can you say that louder? Too difficult.
Say it
again. We are not exempt to difficulties, to trials, but it depends on the way we perceive those things. It will have an effect on us either negatively or positively.
All of that is accurate information. And then what do we do? Do we have something different or something more than other people do? Yeah, who said yes? Okay, so, and? Everybody thinks that what they're doing is right, correct? I want you to hold on to that thought. How many people believe that most people in their denominational affiliation are on the path to righteousness and heaven? Do you think that? I have relatives who are devout CMEs. Wouldn't go any Christian Methodist Episcopal, wouldn't go any otherwise colored, anyway, let me just not go down that road. Wouldn't go anywhere else. So we can talk about what we believe, how we believe, where we believe. Pardon me, I don't mean to be disrespectful. So what? What does that do to impact the system in this city, in every major and minor city in this country, never mind the rest of the world?
I'm sorry, you have a comment there.
Yes, sir. Can someone read that?
It said, address in terms of our organization, Yes. Somebody mentioned traumatic experiences could be a factor, but mental health.
Yes.
The church is a hospital, and we are a community constituted of human imperfections who act on brokenness in many circumstances, yet seeking and yearning to finding a place to belong, an environment to help sustain our health. Professional help in addition to divine intervention.
Excuse me. Is that better? Yes? Thank you for reading that. My thing fell off. Okay. So yes, those are the organizational structures within the Seventh-day Adventist Church to deal with societal needs, just to put it bluntly, okay? So over there, they're doing that, so we can sit back and just have fun. How many of us are part of ADRA or participated in any of those activities? At the group that they mentioned that, ADRA, that addresses the needs of others in different parts of the world, actually. So I guess my point there is, we still have work to do. And thank you for that comment. I'm not trying to say that it's not okay. Those organizations do amazing work in this country and outside. They're the first to go to any kind of disaster that has occurred, okay? And it's functional. And we're still here. Here. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Thinking back on the path that Jesus walked, did Jesus address the physical needs of people? Did he address their emotional needs? How do you know that? Because we read it in the Bible, okay? Hold your thought. Yes, sir?
I like it when Jesus says, this is where I think he thinks of our emotional needs, when he says, if I can quote it, he says, come to me, all ye who are heavily laden and heavy burdened, I will give you rest. So he cares about our emotional needs.
Yes. Did he set up a system to have people's needs met? You say yes? Anybody say no? Yes. Please share. Brother says the church.
Each of us, we are our brother's keeper. Each of
us. Okay. So one could say, you could say, well, that's what I meant. I didn't really mean the physical structure. Because a physical structure is just a building without those of us. So that is one way to look at it. And I could see that you were thinking that way. And our church certainly sets up structures for us to be able to, woman, step on somebody's toes, provide funds to provide services to other people so that we can sit in here and be comforted and be warm. And okay, I'm going to stop there. How do we, sir, hold on one sec. Hold your thought. I know that there's time. How much time do I have? I can keep on. Okay, thank you. Okay, don't say yes to me too many times. Oh, okay. Go ahead, please.
Well, it was told to the people on Zoom, the members on Zoom, that they can unmute and speak out their comment whenever, make it easier.
Okay.
So that way we don't have to keep stopping and reading.
Okay.
The thing I was thinking about as you were talking, I was thinking about like the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how they came together and they were organized.
How do you know they were organized?
Read it from the Bible. And how like they assigned people to certain tasks to make sure like, you know, people's needs were being met. You know, like both the physical need and the spiritual needs.
Does that include then the mental health need? If the physical needs are being taken care of, and if the, what other word did you say?
As a spiritual need.
And the spiritual needs are being taken care of, does that mean that people are healthy mentally?
Not necessarily, but can alleviate some of the mental pressure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to share.
Oh, please.
This is Sandra. So in our church, we form different groups, small groups. And even though the aim is the spiritual part of it, you know, and sharing God and God's love, we take it a step further. So we may be there to support someone in the group emotionally who may not be having a good week or a good day and need to talk. So there, you know, where people in the group will listen and respond. Some, we may not always have the answer, but we are there as a support for them, for them to say what they want to say. So again, even though the small group is to pray and to read the Bible and to have discussion, we also take care of their mental and emotional need by, you know, saying, hey, you know, what's going on with you? So to see how we can help them.
Thank you. Very well said. I wanted to, holding on to what was just said, let's think about what mental health is, what it means. Do we really know?
No.
What I would like to, not so much challenge us to consider, is that mental health may be the absence of difficulty in certain areas that allow us to go about our day-to-day responsibilities relatively unrestricted, care for our families, our, you know, all of those kinds of things. Is it a textbook definition? Not necessarily, but it's a functional definition. And in general, stretching that generality a little bit, that's pretty much what we have to deal with, unless our job is day-to-day working with people who are, you know, need some mental health support, right? So in a, let's see how to set this one up. What kinds of things are set up in society to provide overall services? We talked about it a little bit, but let's look at some other medical assistance or just kind of general mental health. What kind of services, government, church, are set up to help people? We don't have to really dialogue a lot, just list them. And if someone stop me, if someone says something up there, okay. Excuse me? Counseling. Is it free?
Sometimes.
Okay. All right. What else? Counseling? What else?
Therapy.
Okay. Now, how would you separate therapy from counseling?
So, counseling is the one-to-one communication.
Okay.
Okay. Given certain things that the person is able to do.
Say what you say, though. The last
is pretty much doing an assessment.
Okay.
Assessing the needs. And then the therapy would be more like interacting with that person and working with that person on what you have assessed, what you have come up with. And there are different types of therapies.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in general, whether we define it exactly or not, it's understanding that the presence of that, of help, where someone can go and receive help, whether they're taking medicine, whether they're being hospitalized, whether they're meeting with someone weekly and able to speak to someone and know that they're speaking or the person is hearing and listening without judgment. Okay, all of those things. Does that create mental health? Or are there situations, no, we won't have to go there. Does that create mental health? Does that allow for mental health? Is that mental health? So I would, is there, did anyone make a comment about that up there? No, okay.
Can I give a definition?
Can you, what? Oh, please. Yes.
Yes. So according to what I have learned, it says mental health includes or emotional, psychological, and social well-being. And also it affects how we
think or we feel and how we act, you know, and also how we are able to handle stressful situations, how we can relate to others, and how we can make healthy choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. It ties it all together, doesn't it? It's not in isolation.
There's one more resource that is added there. I'm not sure what the Department of Mental Health. Yeah, DMH.
Yeah. DMS. Okay. Yes. And in many situations, that does help, right? I'm not saying it doesn't. So when we think about mental health, we can think about it like in the small kind of cocoon, little compressed way. Can I get up and perform my activities of daily living without any difficulty? Dress, eat, go to work, that kind of thing. And then there are maybe other more difficult situations where people can perform those activities of daily living. Pardon me, I'm trying to make sure this is not an emergency. Okay, it's not. And people still aren't able to feel like they're healthy enough to participate in an event like this, or come to church, or come back to AY. You know people like that? So what do we do? Is there anything that we can do? Before you go there, sometimes all we can do is pray. Right? When we understand that mental health may be the absence of an impairment, and it's that look good kind of thing. I don't mean it in a trite way. It's that the person looks good. They, you know, they're clean. They can come to church. They go to work. They do all of those things. We really don't know whether someone is mentally healthy or not. That's kind of the bottom line of this piece. We don't know. There are indicators that many professionals use to determine that tick, 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 tick. Do they really know? They're looking for the evidence of whether it's working or not, but who knows? Who knows? Does the person know themselves? Probably not. Does Jesus know? Of course Jesus knows. Okay, so we're in this beautiful church with some amazing folks here and amazing folks on Zoom working out a way to provide. Sometimes it's that little thing, one thing that you do that helps a community come together to support each other. Sometimes that's known as church. For many of us, it's not church. Am I right? For whatever reason, there's one sister and a couple of brothers in a church that know that sister and brother so-and-so need some help. They don't talk about it. They know what to get, what to do, and when to provide it, and they follow the example of Jesus. So often we really don't know. What do you know about me? That the information that I provided was accurate, but there's so much more.
I was thinking that when you were asking the question, I said, how do we know? Because sometimes if somebody doesn't relate it to us, how do we know?
So there are some basic indicators that people, that we've mentioned, you know, we've kind of touched upon, but you really don't know, because people who are used to coming to church and sitting in the pew, their spot, don't sit in Sister So-and-so's spot. I know you all don't experience that here. This is a special church. Don't sit anyway. Okay. So don't come to church without a hat. I didn't say that. Okay. I'm making light of it, not as a joke. There are things that we use to help determine, now who are we to decide, but we use it as an indicator as to whether we think a person is stable or balanced and whether they need help. If we think they need help, we have auxiliaries within our local church. What's the level above the local church?
Conference.
Right, thank you. What's the level above the conference? Say union, that's right. Okay, so there are places we can go, which is why our organizational structure is the way that it is. Because in each church, we have these auxiliaries, departments that function to provide different needs, right? Someone was getting ready someone mentioned them earlier. So this is a plan that governments follow, right? We have state-run hospitals, state-run facilities that are not hospitals, but are like permanent residential programs. All of those things are in place. And if we decide that we want to step out and provide a service that may be it could be cooking meals, it could be providing warm hats, gloves, boots, socks, those kinds of things, just for people that are in the out who don't have a place to stay, folks in the church who we know need help. All of those things contribute to a person's mental well-being, their general mental health. When it goes beyond the basic things that we can see and kind of, when I say assess, just kind of see if certain things are happening, we have to then go to professionals, right? Because when we start trying to do some of those things, we may hit a point where we can't go any further. How many of us, when we hit that point that we can't go further, we stop or we just keep on going because we read a book? I didn't say that. I'm sorry. And I didn't mean it either. So I'm just saying that there are professionals within our congregations. Mental health within the community of our church. A lot of times we say community mental health, we think of government agencies. But our church is fully equipped to do this. And you all, I believe that you all probably do many of those activities in this church. Yes.
Yeah. We have a woman ministry group in our church,
mm-hmm.
that we go out and help we have a group that we helping right now, the Forgotten Soldiers, where we go out and we bought them we assist their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And we cook for them too, and we mm-hmm. brought food and stuff for them. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's our outreach, that we outside of the church, away from whatever else we do.
Okay.
I just want to mention that.
Thank you. What activities did Jesus do specifically to demonstrate his understanding and heartfelt, what word do I want to use? Direction in providing for the needs of the people around him and attending to their mental health needs. Excuse me? How did that, so I'm not saying you're wrong, say that again. He was with them. Okay, repeat what you said again.
I said he mingled with the people. So in other words, you have to be able to spend time in the community to understand what their needs are, to know their needs. And that's what he did.
Thank you. What else? Mm-hmm.
The woman at the well, he had a way of talking with her in a way that had her helped her to be honest with herself.
Right. And some of us can do that. I would say in this room, a lot of you can do that. And sometimes you don't have to say a word, do you? Sometimes people don't need us to talk. Sometimes people, while listening helps, yes, but sometimes people just need us to be there within our church. Sister so-and-so, I see you, brother. Sister so-and-so comes by herself all the time and sits in one corner. Can you borrow this? Oh, you want to take that to the room? And sits in one corner. And maybe people say, oh, hi, but then they go away. The person who stops to attend to her needs, right? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I noticed that we, you know, focus a lot on the needs outside where people need help. Maybe could be physical needs, and we focus on that a lot. But what comes to my mind is within our church, we see a wide range of different behavior that sometimes, you know, is unbecoming of, you know, what Christ wants us to be. So how do we differentiate if a need is mental within your congregation based on behavior or it is spiritual?
I would say, and then I'm going to pass this off to the pastor here, it's not our place to make that determination or that assessment. That would be the overall statement. If we have a professional, and that sounds like, oh, only so-and-so can do it. I don't really mean it like that. Because the first thing we have to do, we have to make sure we don't do any harm. And that's why that direction goes that way. I'm going to do the wonderful thing that I don't do near enough and pass that question to the pastor. Would you share some thoughts? Could we get in that area?
How do you assess an individual's behavior?
Within the confines of our role as
members,
not what you would do, sir.
Okay. All right. All right. So somebody mentioned earlier on that the church is like a hospital.
Jamal.
So you have different levels of spiritual growth. And we have to be, that is why we are asked to be patient. That is why we are asked to be long-suffering. And that is why we are asked to be forgiven. And that is why it takes us to Christian growth so that as we grow and as we develop into the spiritual lines, we have a better understanding as to how to deal with the circumstances in the church. And so as we grow spiritually, we'll see different levels of behavior
for you all
and at different points. So it is at this point in our lives, we cannot, as individual members, make a determination to say, oh, I know by your behavior that so-and-so happened, because we cannot determine people's behavior and begin to make a judgment call, because a person may behave a certain way in a particular time. It doesn't mean that this is their manner of behavior. It doesn't mean that it's a trend of behavior. So we have to understand that the behavior, it may be manifested because of certain circumstances. What we need to do as members, and God gave us that tool, is to pray, forgive, forbear, and have patience to see each other's grow. And that's how we fulfill the spiritual needs, along with the behavioral manifestation with members in the church.
Pastor, can I just say something?
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think just as the sister was saying, as just lay church members, we cannot diagnose. But if we see something, probably we can make some recommendation, and we have to be careful too, because at times, you know, individual may be, they may not be conscious of certain things, and they could be denials. So we have to be careful, but we can make a referral, and maybe we can find out, get more details, because as lay people, we are not able to do anything. And sometimes these individuals, is not only prayer. Prayer is very important, but they need professional help. And some may need medication, because the mental disorder could be chemical imbalance. You see, it could be chemical imbalance that they would need medication. So as you said, we can pray and do all of that. But on the other hand, we probably could make some referral or get help, get a professional in the matter that can help that individual to overcome. And then you see, another thing that we would need to work on is the causing factor. We have to do like a root cause analysis, which that professional will do. Because maybe something triggered that person to behave a certain way. So we include the spiritual part, but we have to remember that the professional part is also very important to kind of reestablish that person to normalcy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can you all hear? Okay. All right. Thank you. I think that a lot of the things that were just said are things that we would have to defer to a mental health professional in order to have an assessment done. And that may have been said, and I may have missed that part of it. One of the things that I think can be helpful, and you all probably do it, so forgive me, I'm not trying to say that you don't do it. I brought some items here to, and there won't be enough time to do that while we're here. So I'd like to leave them here for you all to use at any time to put together little packets to use to share with whomever you believe could use them. I did bring some food items, but left them on my kitchen table, so they didn't make it. They're apples and oranges and bananas and things like that that you could share with people in the community. Yes, again, the whole point is when we talk about community mental health, the community is wherever we live. And as big, can you be a community of one?
No. Oh, sorry.
No.
Can be a community of one. I'm sorry. That was kind of a setup. Okay. Even when they say it takes two, but we're not going to go into that one either. So when we come together and we see that there's a need, it doesn't always take a lot. It can be some soap with some baggies. There's some cards here, 3x5 cards, to use a Bible to write some notes on. Biblical scriptures, hope you're feeling better today, anything like that. And then just drop it in a larger bag with some of the other items that you may have put in there. So, and the one with the toilet tissue, well, that I didn't think they were that big. I thought they were smaller rolls, those really small rolls. So have fun with the... I'm sorry. My sense of humor kicks in a little bit. And someone goes, it's not funny, Sharp. I go, okay, yeah, but it was funny to me. Anyway, so a part of this is just, I know that you all are active. You have to be, based upon all the things I've seen and experienced in my heart. So I'd like to thank you for sharing yourselves with me. Thank you for your invitation. I didn't even finish, maybe got 45% of some of the things that I thought may have been important to say, but it's also important for you all to hear, listen, respond, all of that. That's really, and interact. That's more important to me sometimes than content. So this is my gift to you. Whomever needs to work with it, please feel free. I would love to know if there are some new members who begin to come to the church based upon anything that you all are doing. And yeah, just thank you. You all have warmed my heart in ways you will never know. And I'm coming back, Pastor, to worship.
And you'll be back on Sabbath.
Well, I know that. I was not forgetting that. I'll be back on Sabbath. We're going to have fun on Sabbath. Did we have fun today?
Yes.
We're going to have some fun on Sabbath because I'm just going to talk with the women.
Right.
Thank you very much.
You.
Would someone be willing who has not prayed yet to do a closing prayer?
I'm not going to do the closing prayer. I'm going to do one exercise before the closing prayer. Oh. So you can still, somebody? The closing prayer.
Dr. Sharp, on behalf of the Stanford Church, on behalf of the Brooklawn Church, on behalf of the church on a whole, we want to thank you for the service that and the message that you brought us tonight. I just want to put in a little piece here. For all those who are on Zoom, Dr. Sharp is going to be back here Saturday afternoon to speak to all the women. So Stanford, please come up or get on Zoom and be a part of the program that she's going to be presenting. And again, we do appreciate all that you have done and that how you are allowing the Lord to use you in the various ministry in mental health. So thank you again. And I know that this is not going to be the last time you're going to be here. You are coming back on Sabbath and coming back and back and back and back. So we appreciate that. And to God be the glory. And so this is just a little token of our appreciation. Thanks again.
How beautiful.
Don't cry.
That's what my six-year-old granddaughter does. Mama, don't cry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Closing him.
We have our closing hymn at this time, followed by our closing prayer.
Please stand for our closing song, 526, Because He Lives.
God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, he